Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is a word from the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For this I do pray. Amen. I think there is one thing that is made certain within the canon of Scripture. It's made clear in Christ, and it is made very clear according to the words of the Apostle Paul. We know a God that loves us fiercely, fully, and unconditionally. We know that through Christ, through his work, through his teaching, through his ministry, I know that there is no doubt in my mind that because of Christ, that God is love. We have this verse of Scripture that we all know so well that reminds us of this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:16 and 17 are such familiar words to us. We carry these words. They are words that speak to our soul. It is a reminder of how God views us, views our humanity, even though we are human, flawed, sinful, and broken. Paul reminds us of this, that this is the focus of God on the world. This singular love created us for us all. And so Paul writes this, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Again, my friends, this is the great love of the Lord. I mean, we know who we are. We know that all of us are sinners because we are of the flesh. We fall prey to the temptations of this world. Yet in Christ, God's Son, the one sent into this world, through him we are saved. And we're not condemned because we have faith. Paul continues, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death." But my friends, this is not simply an intellectual decision. It's not made by weighing one fact against another. We're not carefully reasoning it out. Well, yes, I like this Jesus fellow. I like his message, his teaching, his story. There's something going on here. I'd like to know more. I like this Christianity. Oh, that church is nice. I think I'll go that route. Now, there's more to it. There's always more to it than that. You have to feel it here. Because everything that we know in Scripture and in our faith life points to a radical change within us. It's deep inside of us. It is a body, mind, and soul kind of change. All we are, everything that makes us up, we put into service to the Lord our God. So it is much more than simply an intellectual choice. It is a life change. Faith means being in Jesus Christ. Not simply placing our faith in Christ. It goes so much deeper than that. It is us being in Christ. It is more than a loyalty to a particular church. It's more than simply placing your membership or simply of attending the same church all your life. It's more than being a part of a similar crowd. It is about giving yourself, like I said, body, mind, and soul to the Lord your God. It is about living in Christ. It is about living for Christ. Living your life as Christ lived. It is about being the body of Christ in this lost and broken world. It is about ministering to others and not expecting recognition or compensation. It is not about being seen doing those good works. Jesus said, "Don't practice your righteousness in public with trumpets or fanfare, waiting and wanting to be seen by your peers, recognized for what you did." But he says this, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret." It is about living out our very personal faith. It is about an intimate relationship with the Holy. Paul reminds us of the saving action of God by sending Christ into this world. "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do," Paul writes, "by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." So Christ walked this world. As a human being, he experienced everything that we felt. He lived a fully human life. Jesus had a human body. Jesus was made up of sinful flesh. He was tempted by sin, but he did not give in. He dealt with sin, our sin, all sin, in order to save us all. So Christ showed us that, yes, there is a better way of being in this world. And that while it is not a perfect world, Jesus is able to let us know sin when we see it. And so we can react accordingly. So that the sin that is within our lives won't affect us. We have a choice. It is a continual choice. We are in constant battle against sin. There is no two ways about it. So we can choose in our life what we're going to do, how we're going to follow, and how we are going to react. Do we choose sin or do we choose Christ? Flesh versus spirit. And once again, it's more than an intellectual choice. It is shown in how we live our lives. Paul reminds us that this is a constant choice. He asks us, where is your mind? What, is it on the flesh or is it on the spirit? So ask yourselves this question and be absolutely honest with yourself. Do you live according to the flesh or to the spirit? It's so easy for us to say, of course, I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the church. Of course I live in the spirit. But it's harder, my friends, to put those words into practice. And of course, even if we can lie to ourselves, we cannot hide our true selves from God. God has this uncanny ability to see into the depths of our very heart. And God knows our thoughts, our intimate thoughts, our personal thoughts, the ones we share with no one else. God, my friends, God knows everything about us. Everything we do and everything we think. Paul continues, for this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Our flesh leads to sin. This separates us from God. Sin is anathema to God. God cannot abide sin. And so a life led in the flesh pushes us away from God. A life led focused on the flesh means we cannot live our lives to God, unable to live our lives as God intended. So there is no way when we live to the flesh that we can please God. We cannot connect with God because of our sin. It pushes us forever away from the holy. Paul continues, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Yet when we focus on living to God, when we live to the Spirit, we know God. We can find peace and we can live lives that are right and pleasing to the Lord. So how then do we live to God? How do we find that Spirit? How do we gain eternal life? How do we achieve the kingdom of God? I go to Christ. He was asked a question very similar to this. Lord, what do I need to do to achieve eternal life? What do I need to live to the Lord? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus knows the answer. It is about relationships with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and with each other, building one another up and never seeking to tear them down. God sent Christ into this world to show us how to love. And Paul speaks to how that changed the world, giving us a new model to follow, to remind us how we are changed by living in Christ. Christ's death and resurrection from the cross to the tomb to resurrection forever altered this world. So we open our hearts to Christ, leaving behind our old ways that sin and death lead to. Instead, we need to live to Christ, that promise of eternal life, of lasting fellowship with Jesus, not ruled by sin, not ruled by death, not governed by any of these things, because sin has no place in our lives to live with the holy. I mean, remember Paul's words. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have the promise of eternal life available to us. Grace, mercy, that overflowing cup. Redemption is available if we repent of our sins. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within each one of us here. That promise is here. The promise is available in Christ Jesus. So my friends, I cry out to you like John did in the wilderness. Repent. Repent of your sins. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make His path straight. Beg Christ to be in your life. Truly live to Him being in your heart. Do everything you can to be in Christ. Be kind. Be compassionate. Love your neighbor as Christ loves you. Amen.